Alright, let's pray. Father, we ask that you grant unto us much more insight than the first time. Thank you for clarity of the things we've said before and the things we're about to say. And thank you for much more depth and application to everyone listening as we behold Christ in the Word as he sees us in him. Amen. Hebrews 2. Now listen very well, though. You know, there's always a pay attention. God has something to say. Hebrews 2:2, remember? We said, if the word, verse 2, you know, normally, also great salvation, I used to start from this text. This is the portion I didn't start from here. You didn't notice? I found out this morning. No, yesterday. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? That word escape is a word used for safety. To seek safety. Exfehugo. E-X-P-H-U-G-O. Exfehugo. E-X-P-H-E-U-G-O. I'll give you the references where it is used for escape from people from captivity. Luke 21:36, Acts 16:27, then Acts 19:16, Sons of Sceva now. Romans 2:3, escape from punishment. 2 Corinthians 11:33, I'll start again. Luke 21:36, Acts 16:27, Acts 19:16, Romans 2:3, 2 Corinthians 11:33. It means to seek safety. How shall you seek safety if you neglect so great salvation? Which means the man who does not receive salvation cannot be saved. Safe. For then they shall say peace and safety. That's the word. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, a travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. How shall we escape if we neglect? The word neglect, amaleo, in the Greek, A-M-A-L-E-O. It means to not be concerned. To not value something. You are not concerned. It's used negatively as touching Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift which is in you. It's used also Hebrews 8:9. They regarded not the covenant. They did not treat it with respect. And Matthew 22:5. So when a man does not believe the gospel, he is not in safety. Safety of what? Safety of the sore punishment. Remember we read about the punishment? And he says under Moses' law it was death. He said there is a sore death to anyone who neglects the gospel. Then, in Mark 16, remember Jesus said that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He says he that believes not shall be condemned. That's Mark 16:15, which is to be convicted and sentenced. So let us look at what is this punishment? What is this punishment? You have different people coming up with different ideas. In fact, if you listen to Jehovah's Witnesses, which are usually called Jehovah's Wickedness, you'll find all sorts of ideas. If you listen to so many people like that. But let's look at the Bible and then address the issues that were addressed. Remember the first thing we saw, you know, in Revelation 20:14. Look, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is what? Huh? The wages of sin is death. Please look, put that scripture together. It's very important. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So go back to that 2 Thessalonians, the one we read about those who obey not the gospel. We'll start from 5. A manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, pay attention, from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Are you noticing a contradiction? How can destruction be everlasting? Are you getting this? Or you will soon see it now. Everlasting destruction. Now he says, from the presence of the Lord. That word in the Greek is away from. Like out of his reach. So that judgment is away from the presence of God. Out of his reach. The word destruction, again, is olethros in the Greek. O-L-E-T-H-R-O-S. Olethros. Let's see where it is used. Olethros. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Timothy 6:9. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. So every time you see it used, it's used in relative. Is relative to what? 1 Corinthians 5. For the destruction of his flesh. That word destruction is used for a loss. To lose something. To lose. Olethros. It refers to a loss. So, if you go back to 2 Thessalonians 1, the loss will be what? They will lose his presence away from it and the glory of his power. Because God's power can only save. So, that destruction is away from the saving power of God. And from his glory and his power. So he uses the word everlasting, which is eternal. Anionos. A-N-I-O-N-O-S. This word is a debate. I mean, it has been a debate for over 1,000 years. So you have to be informed. Anonios. So let's look at the textual issues. He's saying that this... Now, let's look at it again. God's power is to save. His presence is to save. So, his wrath is the absence of his power. That destruction, the same way, if you look at the principles of God, you know, death is the absence of life. When there's no life, then you call it death. When you don't have the glory of God and the presence and the power of God, then you call it destruction. So, the life of God, and life does not kill. Death is the absence of life. The power of God does not destroy. The power of God and the presence of God is rather absent when that destruction is taking place. Are you following? Now, here comes the tricky area. Listen very, very well. I think I taught this in a class in LMA. No, last year too. So I think when it was an assignment, I knew that, I don't know, maybe I didn't touch it like I should. That's why I'm teaching this in a bit more detail. Now, you have a contention among many theories about the use of the word forever, forevermore, and forever and ever. The way it is in scripture, really, you know, when we think, we just assume that the word eternal means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But we might be wrong. And you see, it's those kind of things when we are not diligent enough that makes people, you know, fault things that really are true. It's just that, you know, we have not been diligent enough. So, now the truth is this. There's the word forever and ever, which, when you say ever, forever, it's actually in the first mention, that is the first mention of that word in the original, is for an age or time. When you say ever, that means I can just say an age. This is where some folks are built to thinking that, well, if there's a destruction, it's going to be for a time. And then afterwards, you get it. That's where the purgatory teaching is. So don't think that they were silly like that. They had a basis to think like that. But then, let's take a step further. The word is taken from anion. You know anion. Anion is used for a time, an age. For example, anion, A, not onion, no. A-N-I-O-N. Remember, Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. That even puts a barrier. The times, anion, age. That is the times of each person. So, if you can talk about the times of each person, it starts from Abel. So, it makes anion a fixed duration. Do you understand? Do you understand? So, when you say forever, is for anion. Are you listening? Are you following this? So, please pay attention. Now, where this becomes problematic is that the same word is used for God forever and evermore. Now, it's used for God. Let me give you the construction in the Greek. Eis, that is E-I-S, eistos, T-O-U-S, eistos, ionas, S is E-I-S, T-O-U-S, ionas is I-O-N-A-S. Then whenever you have syntax mixed with verbs and all that, then it changes the way it sounds, but it's the same thing. Ionas, I-O-N-A-S, ton, T-O-N, then ionon, A-I-O-N-O-N. I'll start again. E-I-S-T-O-U-S A-I-O-N-A-S T-O-N A-I-O-N-O-S Ace Toes Aonas Tone Aonon. Now, look at this. Let's see where it's used. We're going to read everywhere this is used. Then we'll get some specifics. Let's start. Revelation 19:13. No, Revelation 20, pardon me. 20:10. And the devil, as deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever. Revelation 19:3. And as smoke rose up forever and ever. This is very, very, very controversial. We'll come to that. 19:3. That. Now look at Galatians 1:5. Who gave himself as fore for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So, it's used for God. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. There are things I'm going to share this afternoon that probably I've never said before. And I wanted to say for a while, but I'll say it today just for you to start thinking about it. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible and only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Ever and ever. 2 Timothy 4:18. Unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hebrews 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing to his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. 1 Peter 4:1. 1 Peter 4:1. Sorry, 4:11. To whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1:18. I am alive forevermore. That's forever and ever. Revelation 4:9. The beast, give glory and honor and give thanks to him that sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Then verse 10. He that lives forever and ever. Revelation 4:9 and 10. Revelation 5:13. Blessing and honor and glory to him, unto him that sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. 7:12. Wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. 10:6. And he swore by him that lives forever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein. 11:15. The kingdoms of this world have become of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. 15:7. The full wrath of God who lives forever and ever. 22:5. He reigns forever and ever. So, if the word forever and ever is used for God, if we interpret it to mean an age after an age, or an age then an age that is limited, okay, that will mean that his reign is also limited, is God, and it is limited. So it's therefore, when you see things like that, it means that you must carefully understand. Now, when you see words like that, it means that you must, of course, that would be funny to say that, well, God is going to reign for some time. They will now do an election. You know. It means that you must apply contextual interpretation, then do what I usually call read the entire contents of the Bible to see synonyms of what you are reading. Because you see, language itself is not explicit. Many times, until you check background and check how it is used, where and when it is used. Now let's get into specifics. So that this would help us. In the entire Bible, the word anion, which I'll give you the Hebrew word in a moment, that word anion in the entire Bible is used for 56 times, sorry, for things that eventually ended. For things that eventually ended. I want you to listen very well to some very tricky but finicky details. To things that eventually ended. So, we have used it for God now. We've also seen it used for a punishment. But we've seen it used a lot for God in His reign. And we all know His reign cannot end. Meanwhile, we are going to see where it was used for things that ended. Okay? 56 times. I'll give you one. To start with. Jonah. Jonah 2. You can check Jonah after Book of Revelation. Jonah 2. Look at this. I went down, verse 6, to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was with me for how long? Forever. Yet thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He's saying that I died forever. Are you seeing it? But we know that he was in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Are you following this? That's Jonah 1:17. Now, in the Hebrew, it's used for describing tall. To describe things, you know, when you say, ah, that guy is so tall. You know, you have not said is 8 feet. Or ah, that mountain is so big. Okay, it's just to, it's actually like a loose terminology to describe time. Ah, it's so tall. Like, ah, I was there for so long. Then we discover that the so long is 3 days and 3 nights. Are you listening? Okay. That's where anion was taken from. Let's see other ones. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Even to their third generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. That looks, you're already giving 10 generations and I say forever. So, forever was used to talk about 10 generations. So you can see a fixed time. Are you listening? Are you listening? But you know that the generations, we don't know the number of years they will live. But we know that there will be 10 generations, and that generation, maybe one will be 100 years, one will be 50 years, one will be 80 years, but the forever is still the 10th generation. Are you listening to this? Please pay attention. In 1 Samuel 1:22, and Anna went up not, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord and abide forever. Abba. Have you seen Samuel of late? 28. Therefore also have I lent it to the Lord, as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So it's as long as he lives. Can you see? So that forever is just like saying, you just be there. You have not fixed anything, you will just be there. But we now expect it to be for till he leaves. And she said forever. Exodus 21, verse 6. Then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Would the master live forever? But he just shall serve him for as long. Psalm 48, verse 14. For our God is our God, forever he will be our guide unto death. Actually, the comma should be for he will, forever and ever he will be our guide even unto death. So, he limits that forever unto, do you get it? Unto death. Yet, Romans 6:22 says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Genesis 2:16. In the day you shall eat thereof, you shall die. And through one man, death entered into the world, and sin entered the world, and death by sin. So, we know death entered to the world. But then let's examine what manner of death it is. Ezekiel 18. And verse 4. So, what did God say to Adam? He said, the day you eat of it, you shall die. Right? Die. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay? Malachi 4. Before you go there, I think there's one text I'll skip. Okay, good. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. Because thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries with the multitude of thy iniquities by the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and to devour you, it shall bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror and never be any more. Look at that. Never be any more. I want you to mark that because it's coming out soon. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, I think. Look at this. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day shall cometh upon them, shall burn them up, and the Lord of hosts that shall leave them neither roots nor branch. He shall burn to stubble. Those descriptions are important. Psalm 37 verse 10, describing the death. Okay? Using the mouth of the Old Testament prophets. For a little while, yet a little while, and the wicked shall be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. So it shall not be there means will not exist. Psalm 68 verse 2, a smoke is driven away, as so drive them away, as wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked, perish at the presence of God. Now, let's imagine this, because this is vital. If Jesus said that, we just read Hebrews 10 and it says that what will happen to the man who rejects the gospel is going to be worse than death. And Jesus says that some will be raised to everlasting life and others to damnation of death. Now, if the death, as we imagine, is that is a continual experience that stays forever, then Satan was right when he said, you shall not surely die. Are you getting my point? You don't get it? Okay. We describe death now. You saw how death is. It will burn to what? Ashes. It will be no more. So if you say, well, the death is that it will just be somewhere and forever and ever and ever and ever, then Satan was right. You shall not surely die. But we know he wasn't. Okay? So, again, it boils down to how we have interpreted and translated the word hell. It is obvious from what we read earlier, and we're coming to it, that hell is not forever. Because hell will die. So, whatever is called hell is not forever. Well, when I say forever, you know what I mean. Okay, it's forever. But that forever is a fixed time. It's just long enough not to be able to put number of days to it. But it doesn't mean it will never come to an end. You get it? It's long enough not to put days to it, but it doesn't mean it will never come to an end. Are you listening? I have presented two things that look contradictory. Are you thinking? So just wait. Now, hell is used 31 times. Hell. 31 times. In the Hebrew language, as grave, that is Sheol, a place. You know, what we just read now about death was not talking about hell. Was not the grave. Because he says it will be born to stubble and it will be no more. So he wasn't talking about hell. He was talking about punishment. So Sheol, which was used in the Old Testament, involved both the righteous and the unrighteous. But the death Ezekiel was talking about was not for the righteous. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Sheol is used generally 31 times for believer and unbeliever. For righteous and the unrighteous. When you come to the Greek, it's used 10 times for the word Hades. H-A-D-E-S. Grave. Then 12 times, you find the word Gehenna. Please listen to this very well. Gehenna is used 12 times for burning. Burning. To burn. When hell is used, except in Lazarus' case, alright, you will not find the word fire. And Lazarus' case, I've explained that to you before. It's only James that used fire, and he wasn't talking about hell. He wasn't referring to Hades, the place of the dead. So we have 12 times. Then we have the last one, Tartarus. Tartarus referring to a dark place. We'll come to that. Now, is there anything in the Bible called everlasting fire? A fire that burns without end. Yes, it's written in the Bible. But don't forget the word everlasting must be contextually seen. Are we together? Alright. Let's see it. Matthew 25. Verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is a parable anyway, but everlasting. Let's see some synonymous explanations. Everlasting fire. Look at Jude 7. Are people going to be in a place and be in fire? Because you are enjoying your robe in Christ. Watch this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, set for an example, suffering the vengeance of what? Is Sodom still burning? Huh? I'm asking a question. Is Sodom still burning? But use everlasting fire. Are you following? Look at 2 Peter 2. So in case you want to know which Sodom is this. And now, and spare not the whole world, verse 5, but save Noah, the 8th person. Notice that the same thing was said here. Spare not the angels that sin and cast them into hell, that's Tartarus, and deliver them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Bring into the flame, into the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them into an overthrow. Make them an example to them that live others. Okay. So it says to ashes. Ashes means that it didn't exist again. Is somebody listening? So that everlasting fire, is it to burn forever and ever? Or, sorry, are we thinking? Eh? Okay. Let's take another step further. We know we read Malachi 4 that talks about, look at Malachi 4:3. So the punishment referred to here is the punishment of the ungodly, the unbeliever, right? He said it shall be like Sodom, everlasting fire. Again, he said they shall be as ashes. So, just like Sodom. Now, wait. So, is the everlasting the fire or the effect? Huh? What would it mean? The fire will destroy for... Huh? What is the import of that? The object will not be found again. Are you following? Okay. It's not punishment forever and ever. Are you listening? That is why it is called death. Okay? The second death is the death. I explained this in Law in Genesis 3 now. Huh? What we say, we should give thanks to God for hell. Can you remember? Ah, okay. You thank God for hell. If there was no hell, Abraham would not have been where he is. Hell is a stopgap. Right? Because what he said to Abraham was, is it the dying today, hell, or the second death? You can't even imagine what the second death is. I thought we all know that already. Okay. Look at Matthew 25:46 again. And this shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, that punishment is death, right? Right? That means a death that is final. Do you understand? Do you understand? Let's look at the word. So, when you read everlasting fire, does it mean a fire that will burn without ending? No. A fire that will burn the object, and the object will remain destroyed forever. Do you understand? Huh? Do you understand? So that destruction is everlasting. Now again, Jeremiah says, what about unquenchable fire? Jeremiah 17:27. Unquenchable fire. If you will not hearken unto me to allow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof. It shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. What do you think it means? That is, until the city is destroyed, it will not be stopped. Right? Is that correct? 2 Chronicles 36. Second Chronicles 36, 19 to 21. And they burnt the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the place thereof with fire. That's the judgment we just read. And destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons unto the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Are you there? So what happened was that the city was destroyed. You get it? So unquenchable there does not mean it's going to last forever. Do you understand? Is it clear? Okay. So, it means the fire will not go out till the job is done. Just like Gehenna. Every time Jesus was talking about hell, Gehenna, we're going to see in a moment, his audience knew what he was talking about. They knew Gehenna referred to a particular valley where things were burnt until they were ashes. They were no longer existing. As he was talking about Gehenna, they will know what was. Everybody in the audience, I mean, the average person in the audience will have in his mind what he's talking about. When I say Oshodi, you know, I don't have to show you Oshodi. Like, say, for example, if I'm going to Oshodi, you just say Oshodi. Those are places I'll mention, we will not have the imagination. I'll just have to show the movie. Look at Isaiah 47, verse 14. Read that now. Isaiah 47 verse 14. So, does unquenchable mean born without ending? No. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire that shall burn them, they shall not divide themselves from the power of the flame. That means it's the kind of fire that the object cannot deliver itself. So when you read unquenchable fire, that's what he's talking about. Okay? Is that okay? And now let's look at one more. Let me ask a question. And is the human soul, or let's say the human spirit, is the human soul immortal? That's the real problem. That man can never be destroyed. Do you know we have no single scripture for that? The human life is not immortal. In fact, if you read the judgment in Genesis 3, it says that you eat of it and live forever. Are you following what I'm saying? Can you remember when the cherubim and live forever? Is human soul evil? It can't be. You know what? Look at 2 Timothy 1:10. The Bible says God brought light and immortality through the gospel. Immortality only came through what? The gospel. That's endlessness. That which has no end. But we'll get to that. Praise God. So eternal life doesn't mean forever. It's eternal life. It just means that the unbeliever will live in hell. The believer will live in heaven. Look at Matthew 13:39. The word forever, that's the word ever, anion. The enemy has sowed them, that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. So it puts an end to anion. So there are times anion has an end. Are you listening? The end of an activity. Also Ephesians 1:21.
Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So you can find aeon, two different times, two, ever and then another ever. Second Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. 1 Corinthians. So you can have an aeon that has a beginning and an end. Okay? Are you following? 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2:7. And we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world, before time, unto our glory. People assume, for example, that when I say before time, that's before God created the world. No. Do you understand? You must say, which time is he talking about? Time specific. Now, Hebrews 5:6. He said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we can argue this a bit and say, well, his work as a priest ended when he sacrificed. Do you understand? You get what I'm saying? But is it because of the intercessory nature of what he now did after in Hebrews 7:25, it makes it a bit doubtful to use that kind of example. Because Hebrews 2:17 says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So, as though as he offered the sins and the question had come, and forgiven the sin, the work was done. But because of Hebrews 7:25, but interesting, Hebrews 7:25 does not use aeon. Hebrews 7:25 uses a stronger word. Hebrews 7:25 is able to save forever. No. The word uttermost is aparabatos in the Greek. A-P-A-R-A-B-A-T-O-S. Which means permanent. Not to be violated. Used for documents and legal things, not to be violated. It's stronger than a continuation. It's more than that. It deals with the intrinsic nature of something that this is can't be violated. It is unchangeable. So it doesn't deal with time. It's stronger than that. Are you following? Think about that Hebrews 5:6. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Huh? A priest forever. Just think about it. It won't hurt. And it's good to think about it, dear people. Let him that has wisdom. Philemon. Fifteen and 16. Now look at how this is used. For perhaps, that's talking about Onesimus. Let's have a 14. But without my mind, would I do nothing that the benefits but we should not be as it were of necessity but willingly. For perhaps he therefore, and I saying that, look, let the guy come to you, but receive him now. I know he has done this for you. He therefore departs for a season that thou should receive him forever. I don't know, is he still in his house? Huh? For as long as, do you understand? Aha. 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother loved, especially to me. And how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So that leaves us there again. Now, in the Old Testament, that word is the Hebrew word olam. O-L-A-M. I suppose I'll start with that anyway. Exodus 12, 24. I'll start from 20. This is the Passover. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, unto your houses to smite you. Notice that he was talking about the Egyptians. Then he says, you shall observe this thing for an ordinance unto thee and to thy sons forever. Are they going to remain in Egypt forever? Eh? That is for as long as you remain here. Do you understand? You get it? Are you following this? Because that Passover is no longer observed today. Are you listening to this? You know, you read this in the Old Testament, this shall be an ordinance forever. I wonder, forever, you know, forever. And people read, forever. Isn't this forever? For as long as, of course, for as long as it remains a symbolic practice. Are you listening? So forever can be for as long as. Okay? Are you listening? No. Mm-hmm. We know that this feast, for example, ended with the cross. Hebrews 9:25-26. Jesus went into the holiest of all and took his blood there for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ our Passover. So that already ends. So that forever is relative. Forever, as long as it is necessary. It was necessary that those things stood as a type and a shadow until the substance came. Is that clear? So it will be forever till, for example, the fire will burn till. You get it? Of course, you know we are talking about the kind of fire that is in our minds. Look at 1 Chronicles 23. I hope you are learning something. 1 Chronicles 23:13. And the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated, he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever. Abba. Are you seeing the word forever again? Olam. To burn in incense before the Lord, to minister unto him and to bless in his name forever. That's been replaced by Jesus. You know, Exodus 40. Verse 15. Olam. Thou shalt bring his sons, verse 14, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou did anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for the anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Indefinite or definite? Thank you. Hebrews 7:11 explains that out for you. Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not because of the order of Aaron? So the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So that was changed. So that forever is relative. Verse 13, for he of whom these things were spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Exodus 21:1-6, about servants, I think we read that earlier. Exodus 21:1-6. And then his master shall bring him unto his judges, he shall also bring to the door. And it read the boys here too with an oil, and he shall serve him forever. At what point will he stop? Second Kings 5, Gehazi. Second Kings 5. Verse 27. When Gehazi stole, or when he did 419, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So, anion and olam, which are the two words, are elastic terms. Okay? As long as the effect remains. Just like Philemon 15 and 16. It's not a word that means it will eternally, that is unchanging, you know, remain. And so that's why words were used for man's soul. Do you know that the words were used for man's soul in the Old Testament, even in the New Covenant, were words like chaff, stubble, wax. Things that materially can be destroyed. Look at Matthew 3:12. We've read Malachi 4:1, right? Psalm 68 verse 2, Psalm 37 verse 20. Look at Matthew 3:12. John the Baptist. When John talked about Jesus baptizing with fire. Okay? Matthew 3:12. The fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wisdom together, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So, man is not immortal. Man is not immortal. If man were to be immortal, okay, then he will not receive immortality in the gospel. Immortality comes in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 55. 2 Timothy 1:10. So, when we see eternal death, how do we classify it? Do we say is dying eternally, or is dead to exist no more? Huh? If he's dying eternally, that means he's not dead. That means Satan was right. If he's dead to exist no more, that means that death is everlasting. Let me see if that's clear. Is it clear? Is it clear to us? Uh-huh. So he will die to exist no more. Or he will be alive forevermore in Christ. There's no middle point. No paralysis. No faint spells. There was a guy who fainted. He thought he was dead. He's already getting, and he's a Muslim. He's already trying to, just coughed out, no, I'm just fainting. I've told you now, because I don't have time for money. So, now please watch this. We'll come back to that immortality issue. Now, look at 1 Peter 3:18 to 20. Let me just talk about this quickly. I remember a friend lost his dad. So I wasn't sure whether the dad was a Christian. So we're having a little debate. So and this helped us then. That was in 1997. It helped us to do some of these studies that I'm now talking about. We're a group of friends. So he went into negative, but he helped us to see things we hadn't seen before. So he brought out this view of, but Jesus, he said, people can still be saved after they are dead. It hasn't come up in my mind. So he now brought up this fact about Jesus going to hell to preach. That there's a possibility that if he went to preach to those who were in prison. And of course, people have a scripture for it. That he went there to preach. That, he now stretched his revelation further to supplication. That you can actually pray. There is supplication such that. So we're not talking about the seed. It's a very, very difficult, it's a very long, it's gone away for months. So that the seed that, for instance, that there was no,
that a seed can be sown to someone's heart. And as this man is his father, that's how we said then, that the man can be in hell, and then you can still have a way of praying those things that he now believes. You know, and of course, it's not also helped by those who preach that after the rapture, people are still going to believe. You know, people are so confused. See, like that, people are then, you now be running away from Mark. You say, what is this? 666. Ha! Six? You're taking it? Ah! Not by who's saying it. You know, and then you say, did I give you a map? Oh! Then you now be crying. What if you cut off the hand? They say, it will appear on your leg. Joke. If I put it like that, that's why there's GPS and there's a technology so you can see everybody in the world. There is no way you can run from the Antichrist. That all those technologies being built by the Antichrist. You never preached this thing before. I have. First Peter 3, verse 18. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison. By which also, verse 30, 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited. I mean, this is very clear. It's preached to the Spirit in prison, obviously, which sometimes were disobedient, when in the days of Noah. So we know that the Spirit is talking about here are those in the days of Noah. Now, the question will be this. Did Jesus go to them? No. It wasn't Jesus. There are three things you just need to see very quickly. Number one, he said, by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Okay, that's the first thing. Jesus is spoken of by the Spirit when he was raised from the dead. Not in Hades. So that's not talking about his death. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, not that they were accompanied, he accompanied him there. You get it? That's one. Two, he was talking about when the ark was preparing. That was when Noah was preaching. When he was preaching, it was so clear. When the ark was preparing. When Noah was preparing the ark. This was when the preaching was done. Now, when you hear spirits in prison, Psalm 142 is talking about a state, a spiritual state. Psalm 142 is used for. One is the word prison is the word phulek in the Greek. P-H-U-L-A-K-E. It's talking about captivity. It can be physical and it doesn't have to be. Now Psalm 142 verse 7. Does it verse 7? Bring my soul, this is David, out of prison. He was never in prison. It's talking about a spiritual state. Okay? Captivity. So, who went to preach? Peter had told us earlier that the spirits did prophesy when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, remember? And the glory that should follow. And that ark, okay, was a figure. So the preacher was Noah. Who preached? So Jesus reached out to them, just like he did to every other person, in the days of Noah just in the Old Testament, he reached out in the days of Noah by the Spirit as Noah was preaching. Not that he went to hell or went to the prison to preach to people. Is that very clear? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. So the prison here is not referring to hell. Now, see this. I asked the question earlier. I said, is man immortal? No. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, immortality is spoken of God. 1 Timothy 1, 17.
unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Immortality is used 5 times, that word immortality. Immortal used once just for God. Immortal just for God once. Immortality is used 5 times. The first time is Romans 2:7. I want to pay attention to this now. It says, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who, please pay attention, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. The word to seek here in the Greek means something you don't have. Romans 11:3, the same word. For they seek my life. That's what Elijah said. That means they didn't have it before. So that means man seeking immortality means he didn't have it. Are you following? Are you following this? Okay. Then 2 Timothy 1:10. Jesus, look at it, shows that immortality is a gift in Christ. That means endless living. Endless living. 2 Timothy 1:10. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Then 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 53. Look at what it is. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Talking about man's body. And when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and mortal shall put on immortality, then shall brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Timothy 6:16. The last, the fifth and the final one. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man can has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and glory again to God. So there was nowhere man was ever called immortal being. Romans 1:23. I'll start from 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. So he calls man mortal. Now, a troublesome text will be Mark 9. Are you learning something? Mark 9, where you have the worm. Mark 9, the worm, verse 48, that dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You start from 43 to 48, but I read just 48 to us. You see that in Isaiah 66:24. Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Again, it's just the same thing we have spoken about. The worm that died, just what I said, it refers to what it will do. You know, the object cannot escape from it. Not an everlasting living worm, talking about the agents or agency of the destruction. So it's obvious that the punishment of the sinner is that he will exist no more. That is death. He will exist no more. Now look at Matthew 10:28. Nobody ever called man eternal.
not one person. Eternal life is found in Christ. Is that okay? Matthew 10:28. Let's see that together. I want us to read it together. Are you there? And fear not them which kill the body. Are you there? But not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both the soul and the body in Gehenna. Not Hades. Hades is not the place of destruction. Are you following? Hades is a place of being held. It says, is able to destroy both. So, does Jesus lend credence to the fact that man's soul can be destroyed? Huh? Okay, good. In Gehenna. Now, when he mentions Gehenna, Gehenna is clear. It's taken from an Hebrew word, Hinnom. H-I-N-N-O-M. A valley near Jerusalem that you will see. The way it is said in historical terms that in Hinnom, the fire is always burning, but the object is not always burning. Do you understand? Do you get it? You follow me? The object will be destroyed to nothing, but the fire is there for any time you want to put a waste. So, the burning is not that the object will burn forever. The object will remain burnt and destroy forever. Do you understand? Is that clear? Uh-huh. It's able to destroy. So, the Septuagint explains it the same way. The fire we read earlier on in the Hebrew is translated the same way in the Septuagint. The same thing. So obviously, I mean, this is because of this, you know, a bit of our carelessness in not knowing what hell is, how hell is different from fire, the lake of fire. You get it? Do you understand? How hell is different from death. It has given people the room to say, to teach things like purgatory and all that, which is not true. Death will mean an extinction. Spirit, soul, and body. An extinction. Total. Are you there? So, is it clear now? When the righteous is raised unto life eternal, the unbeliever is raised unto death eternal. Death eternal will be what? Dying to exist no more. Not continuous dying. That's fainting. Is that very clear? Are you learning something? This is the simplest part. Eh? So don't view people, they are not dead. That can be. So, and the Bible calls it the second death. Don't forget, it said that hell where people are, where the grave, Hades, will now be cast. You know, he even said both death and hell will now be cast into, and they will all now die. So it will not, sin will not be in existence again, and the effect of it. That is the full work of redemption. Amen. Okay. Let's quickly look at something and then round off. Look at Matthew 27. Verse 52.
And when he had cried again with a loud voice, he heard of the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Matthew 27. And there came out of the graves afterward. Huh? You know, Mary saw Jesus. But other folks saw these guys. Okay? And appeared unto many. So obviously, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose together with them. So when he ascended the same way. Wait a bit. Are you listening? Are you listening? Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. In explaining Jesus' resurrection. I'll close there. Just give you something to think about. Verse 20. Start from 23. No, let's start from verse 18. Then also, they which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Even in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men what? Do you get it now? That's what I've been saying so far now. Huh? Uh-huh. So you can see that the realities of Christianity are eternal in nature. It is actually, there's much more in eternity. True? Is that true? So if only this life we have hope, then we are all men miserable. We're not different. We're all men miserable. But look at this. And now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruit of them that slept. First fruit is never won. Everybody knows that. As he said that his audience knew that he wasn't one person. First fruit is always more than one. So that means Christ rose with people. Are you there? And that was what was in Matthew 27. You know, they never returned to their graves. I never saved anybody to have birthday party. Or resurrection party. So when Mary caught Jesus, others saw the rest. What they were thinking about? But they ascended together. Amen. Are you there? Ah. What do you think they went to? They went back to the grave to wait for the rapture. No, they ascended together. So when you read Acts 2:29, and then. The point is that, did all the saints of the Old Testament, did they rise with Jesus or just some select few? Because, you know, first fruit is select. Isn't it true? Huh? Is it all of them or just some of them? Like who, 24 elders? I'm not joking, I'm just trying to stir up your pure minds. 24 elders. Was David part of them? Huh? Why are you looking up? Was David part of them? Because Peter was preaching here and he said that, this is how he said it. He said, David, he said his sepulcher is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Acts 2:29. So maybe David was not part. Eh? Or was Peter just preaching about a past event without making reference to the saints? What do you think? So what do you think? Huh? Alright, let's close. At least we have learned something, only one or two things. So tomorrow morning we'll continue. Praise God. Do you have questions? What's the issue? You like hell to be burning forever. Who are the people you don't like? Is that the issue? Amen? I think it's clear. I think it's clear. But prepare your mind for this.
gradually over the years. It's just that, you know, we all came from different places where our hell does not end. The eternal life is only found in Christ. Immortality is only found in Christ. Man is not immortal. Alright? Huh? Amen. Okay, man is immortal. Man is not immortal. Man will be destroyed if he's not in Christ. And that is why the writer of Hebrews said it's a sore punishment. It's worse than death. It's a worse death. You know, the first death, you get it, you'll still be existing. The second death, you won't find it again. And that's what the Bible said, there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. I remember hell was beyond, below, right? So there will be a total new picture and all things will really pass away. And all things shall become new. Good afternoon and have a nice day.